Well, what do you say to, I mean, because I'm there with you. I am over this so hard. Don't need it, don't want it. But there's so many people out there, right? And coming from different places, a lot of people feel like the system, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, like how the system just needs some band-aids, it's a fixer-upper. So this speaks to the importance of having this discussion because we all have our own thoughts and ideas, and until we come together and talk about them, it's really hard to then move forward from that. You were talking a couple weeks ago about, or maybe it was last week, about someone that you met on the street who she was kind of rubbed the wrong way about the language that you were using, the Raven, because she felt like it would polarize people. So what do you say to individuals who feel like that we need to use language in order to, and I'm speaking specifically with the progressive movements, the Occupy Oakland, all those movements, and how they use language. What do you say to those people who want to use language in order to, in order to bring about something different, but they don't want to blam put it in your face? They feel like you have to ease people in to, transfer them over to something new rather than be in their face about it. What is the harm in sort of softening truth, so instead of saying that we need a movement to end wage work, it's more of a, a thing where, or that's our goal, but let's just like, let's sugarcoat it. Let's kind of not name it specifically. Because I see that all the time, and that's maybe slightly different than I mean, I think I'm talking about two different things. I think I'm talking about one, people who are not yet done with the system or feel like that we just need to make adjustments. One thing like maybe homelessness or maybe the food crisis or sustainability. Attack handle all those little things, make a little slight adjustments so that one day we wake up and realize, oh, we're in a new world, So that's one way of looking at it. The other way to look at it is that we are very focused and specific about what we want and vocal using our language and claiming what it is that we want, and so I guess this a long-winded way of saying, what do you think, the Raven, about the language that is being used in these movements? And it's kind of hard because again, all these movements are very different. I don't think I see one that is very specific in what you're talking about, which is reclaiming our thoughts, ending wage work, saying no to selling ourselves. That's a very specific movement, right? And I think people, I think what this woman was saying was that people are going to react to that in different ways a lot, and in her mind, in negative ways, hearing that message put out there. And part of me agrees with her because I feel like the system is one that uses pacification, uses coercion very effectively. And so for me, I'm thinking like, well, to move beyond this, do we need to use that same conditioning, or similar, energy to move people out of this, if they're used to a certain way of being communicated with? What is the best way to proceed and communicate, knowing that we have had, decades, those of us on this, just alive, we've had a certain amount of conditioning already put in place. How do we overcome that, and how do we use language to overcome that, and are these movements that we're a part of, are they a part of the problem by using the language that they're using? Because I it isn't their own language, right? It's still that language that has been co-opted by the system. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, the Raven.
And as always, it's starting to get really rich, our conversation, incredibly, with that last series of observations, Dwei. Right when our time in this segment is about over, You asked a lot of questions right in there, and it's all of which are really interesting, and I'm trying to figure out what to focus on in the remaining 10 minutes or so that we have, 15 that we have. You asked, what do I think about the language used in the various movements, progressive movements that are out there? You mentioned that people are reacting in negative ways often to authentic language. Don't we want to soften or sugarcoat some of our language in order not to alienate people? Mm-hmm. How do we overcome centuries of conditioning? How do we use language in a way that does that? Are movements, progressive movements, part of the problem if they're using the master's tongue? So there's a lot in there in those questions. And I think if I were to say one thing to begin tackling them, it's that we have to have a process of regular, purposed discussion in order to begin developing our common language, because the misunderstandings are going to be vast because we don't have that language yet. So we have to begin overcoming those misunderstandings in order to get on the same page. It is incredibly important that we all globally get on the same page. And that may sound more daunting than it in fact is in practice, because when we stop to think about it, we're all made of the same stuff. We all want the same thing, but we've been conditioned, and there's various different ways in which our minds have been misled from that basic reality. The earth is the source of all of us. So, one little example, when I had a brief conversation with someone, and I used the phrase, what we all have in common is that we want to own these bodies we walk around in. And he bristled immediately, and he said, I own myself. Nobody has bought me, right? So he is interpreting what I just said in the master's tongue, which is that you want to be your own man, right? You don't want to be owned by anybody. So we're not talking the same language, right? But when I said, by you don't want to be owned by anybody, that means you have integrity, you have your own set of values, and you live by them, right? So even that language has been taken over, right? We can't communicate on even that basic level. But when I said that Sebastian de Grazia's definition of freedom, he said the only authentic definition of freedom is freedom from necessity, leisure. That's authentic language. That's saying the only authentic definition of freedom is the ability to feed, shelter, and clothe oneself. Then you can say you are free. No one can pull your strings. No one can dangle the threat of starvation or loss of home and warmth and food. That's authentic language. So when we begin clarifying what we're saying, then the aha comes, as it did with him. When he heard that, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I feel you. Right, no, I guess in that sense, I don't own myself, right? I have to sell myself. Yes, all right, I get it. Mm-hmm. So there's an enormous amount of misunderstanding that has to be clarified. Now, in terms of whether we soften truth, that's a longer conversation.